some understanding of AB 52. We ran into it this morning. I'd like to have some type of understanding and legal interpretation how it affects our WDRs and our permitting and regulatory process. I'm aware of AB 52. I've certainly seen it on work that I've done personally, but it certainly comes into the dairy program like we saw today. I think it'd be helpful to know and understand our regulatory obligations under AB 52.
So
it doesn't have to be an agenda item,
a
presentation.
Ask.
I just would like to have some type of legal interpretation as it permeates into our regulatory process.
Okay.
Okay.
So it would be specifically about how AB 52, the implications of AB 52 for our CEQA analysis and when it applies on permitting actions. Okay.
Yeah, and there may be something that's already written on that, or that's been written elsewhere maybe.
OCC sent general guidance to staff that could be made available to you very easily.
Yeah, that might be great, Adrian. That might be great. I understand, too, that we have then coming items on that are agendized potentially in this next year for Elk River as it relates to WDRs. And I would entertain or ask if there's any questions related to that. Specifically, if there's requests from board members for information, it would be contained within Elk River information as it comes under either those two items or anything else that's requested. Mr. John Corbett.
Anything that deals with the monitoring at the bottom of the central region so that we can try and get how much is coming, sediment is being transported out.
Yeah, so there, as Chairman Noren identified, at the February board meeting, we'll have an information item update on the Elk River recovery assessment, which, you know, just really briefly, as you board members are all aware, is an effort to develop, calibrate, and apply a predictive empirical water quality model to look at Elk River sediment dynamics and impacts on flooding and implications for fisheries habitat. The reason I'm saying this is that there was monitoring done in order to calibrate that model. There is new data, or you know, relatively new data, and so at that, I think it was about a year ago or so, you got a presentation from Dr. Lay of our staff talking conceptually about that model. When the invited speakers present in February, we will ask them to speak to monitoring data and what we do know about the sediment budget and what's coming in and what's going out. Would that suffice, Chairman?
Well, I throw what data you got.
Yeah.
If it's insignificant or insufficient, make a footnote. If there's a major trend or if it's too early, let us know. I just want to say I think that's one of the keys and want to know about it whenever we consider it.
Well, to go down that road a minute, you're alluding, Matt, that the hydrodynamic model, correct? So the
hydrodynamic and sediment transport model, yeah.
That's correct. So the hydrodynamic model, I guess my question would be, my understanding is there's a report on that there's, you indicated there's a draft report, I think, recently to us.
Yes.
I'd be interested to know what that is, if that draft's available. If it's a publicly available draft, it would be good to get a look at it.
Good.
I'd also like to know about, I personally, along with Bill Massey, helped us secure funding from the cleanup and abatement account. I believe it was about $700,000 for some pilot projects up in Elk, and as well as to fund some of the activities. I'd like to know some status on that as well.
Good.
Where are those pilot projects? What happened? In what state are they in, or when are they scheduled?
Sure.
And further than the stewardship process. What's going on with stewardship out there? Because we're aware of the fact that that there was problems with how stewardship got off the ground and now where is it. I believe Caltrout has that contract is what I know, but I don't know anything else about it.
Correct. So I'll provide a brief update now, and then we'll elaborate on much of this at the February update. So the Elk River Recovery Assessment, as you'll recall, was a key component of the TMDL action plan. It includes the development of this hydrodynamic sediment transport model. The consultants have a draft report that's been completed. So there's a draft report, there's a technical review committee, and regional board staff are part of that committee. And so the reviewers have submitted comments over the last couple of weeks. We just submitted our comments, I think, last week. And that the final Elk River Recovery Assessment report will be finalized within the next couple of weeks. There's the technical advisory committee, the TAC, is meeting on December 13th. And so the report will be finalized and made public ahead of that December 13th meeting. I'm going to be there in attendance, as will Chuck Striplin, who's in the audience, and Dr. Lay and Alita Mangelsdorf, and I think Clayton Krager as well. The status of the pilot projects, there were three pilot projects, and you're correct that the regional board was successful in getting cleanup and abatement account funding for those projects. One project has been completed. That's the project that's known as the Steel Bridge, at the Steel Bridge location, which is within the impacted reach, and that project involved removing this earthen impoundment that led up to the steel bridge, which was identified as a likely constriction point that was contributing to flooding. So that project was permitted by the county and constructed last summer. That project's done. There are two more projects. The designs have been completed, and the permitting for the projects is being completed now. We are lead agency. The regional board is lead agency for those two projects under CEQA. And so this board, you guys, will be asked to approve that mitigated neg deck for those two projects. We're targeting the June board meeting for bringing the mitigated neg deck to you in order to go to construction on those two projects in the summer of 2019. Elk River stewardship. So you'll recall that, it was 2 years ago. Can't believe how time flies. that the County of Humboldt, which was the lead under the grant agreement for stewardship, chose to stop to not continue to work on that project. There were frankly, some disagreements with regard to the implementation of stewardship, and the county decided to walk away as the lead administering the stewardship process. There were some challenging strings tied to our funding source, and when we worked with the Division of Financial Assistance at the State Board, we were given really very few options in order to continue moving that grant forward. Caltrout was actually the original submitter of the application. This is a 319H grant. They were the original submitter of the grant application, and they were a They were one of the co-leads of the grant along with the county. And what we were told was that in order to not lose the money altogether, we had to go with the members of the original team. And so that left Caltrout as being the lead for that new grant agreement. It took a surprisingly long time to work through working with the Division of Financial Assistance to come up with a new scope of work, because we did learn some things through the process, and so we did some refinement of the scope of work. There had been, I think, something like 5 work groups, and we ended up consolidating into, I think it's just 2 work groups, and we can get Chuck Striplin to come and answer some questions if there's some follow-up and correct me where I went wrong. But so there was some revisions to the scope of work, and long the short of it is we now have an recently executed new grant agreement with Caltrout that just got executed within the past couple of weeks. So I mentioned the December 13th meeting of the Technical Advisory Committee under the recovery assessment. That meeting is also going to serve as the first meeting of the sediment remediation work group under Elk stewardship. So in other words, we're now up and running, reconvening those work groups and getting to work. So there's the sediment remediation work group, and then there's also a drinking water water supply work group.
Does the county participate in that, Matt? Does Hank Seaman come to those meetings? Or did they just bow out of – did they bow out of the contract or did they bow out of the process in the entirety?
Well, they certainly bowed out of the contract.
Yeah.
Stewardship, until we've had a new executed agreement, really there hasn't been anything for any of the other stakeholders to participate in. So it's to be determined what the county's role in stewardship is moving forward. They have been a participant in the Technical Advisory Committee.
Yeah, that's good.
And we anticipate that will continue into the future.
Yeah, that's good. They have a piece of it. They have an important piece of it up there.
Yeah.
John?
I don't know how to get this started. It's long range. But we got the nuclear power plant near the mouth. They're going to shore that up, I'll tell you. We have the bridge, one of the bridges Elk exits on high tides is almost to the bottom of the bridge. They're not going to let the highway wash out or the bridge wash out. And then if you look at the breakwater, you'll realize substantial work needs to be done. And so for Caltrans to keep the highway in that location, there's going to be a major redesign there. And we need to know what we want. What's going to work? McDonald, in his report, made some suggestions. I didn't think they were – well, first of all, it was incorrect on the rate of ocean rise and subsidence. But nevertheless, he came up with the theory that if there's ocean rise, that it's going to make the dispersal of sediment worse. I'm not sure that wasn't very well documented. But they're going to rebuild that whole area, and what do we want? And if we know what we want, we can go to the Coastal Commission ahead of time, so they're our buds. Go to Fish and Game ahead of time, so they're buds. And that's going to be a lot of pressure on Caltrans, and is sufficient pressure, I think, that PG&E will want to work out a solution as well, so that we have something at that mouth that helps flush that dirt out. Now, the lawsuit by the Pacific Coast fishermen on sediment going into Humboldt Bay and not being dredged fast enough by the Harbor District means they may or may not be our friends on that particular element of it. But I think we need to get a proactive vision by somebody who knows hydraulics, and we may have to consult with somebody, I don't know, on what do we want when that area is rebuilt. And if we have that much focus and we have that much agency advance agreement, we'll probably get what we want. Is what I'm trying to say, and mm-hmm. and for us to stay focused way up here on the hill slope and not on how it gets out the final mm-hmm. solution to the ocean,
I think is short-sighted. And so I don't know when these factors will come. If there's a major earthquake, of course, it'd be tomorrow, but because of the subsidence. But there's a whole host of factors all in that area. It's all where the elk exits. Mm-hmm. So something's going to happen this year or the next 20 years. But if we're not ready for it and we're fuddy-duddy out and we comment on the EIR, it's probably going to be too late.
Yep.
So I don't know how to press that within our current institutions and our current staffing, but would like you to contemplate and use your executive director brain. And also, if there's a good contact we could have in another agency like Department of Water Resources, someone who really understands hydraulics, that would be really helpful.
Yep.
Well, I believe that hydrodynamic model goes all the way to the mouth, correct?
It does.
But
it
ought to help inform that. Change the mouth is what I'm right. saying.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think excellent points, John, and I think that the sediment remediation work group is one opportunity to bring in PG&E, bring in Caltrans, bring in Coastal Commission, bring in all the wildlife agencies that are going to have a permitting role on any channel restoration work, and really try to come up with a joint vision for and plans, and then to then implement for restoration of not only the what we call the impacted reach of the river, but also the lower river. Because you're absolutely right, it's all one river. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my two bits. I don't know how to
it's
get
good.
There, but think about it.
No, it's smart.
It's really good. Yeah.
The other thing, Matt, I'd like to see in the update is, you know, it was mentioned by Jonathan that he signed, you know, some timber harvest plans here. I'd just like to know where those are, just some general information about them. I know they're public now, but I'm not going to go looking for them.
Okay.
Frankly, there was a proposal to have a joint paired watershed study out there on Railroad Gulch, I believe it was, originally. I don't know if that ever happened. That was an HSU, I believe, sediment study that was in that. I think there was a paired watershed study that was supposed to happen there. So any update on that kind of stuff would be helpful as well.
Okay. Good. Thank you. So it sounds like some of these can be incorporated into the February item that we're already planning. And then some, John's points, you know, might come a little bit later and be more kind of a potentially a workshop style item where we bring, I'm just thinking off the top of my head right now, but we bring in the other agencies to talk about potential restoration options for the river. And then on THPs, David, I think we can probably do that as a written update that we'd provide to the board.
Mm-hmm. Any other requests for future agenda items? All right, very last, other items of interest. Any other items of interest?